Let's go. Welcome to the Auburn Daily Show Tuesday edition. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, Auburn baseball writer at auburndaily.com, as well as the host of Locked On MLB Prospects, joined, as always, by the man in charge, the editor-in-chief of Auburn Daily, Zach Blackerby, also the host of Locked On Auburn, Daily Auburn Tigers podcast. Zach, thing that I am very excited about this upcoming season, it has to do with the stat of the day from Monday's Auburn Daily.
Okay.
Gunnar Britton, the offensive tackle out of Western Kentucky, allowed pressure last year in on pass blocking snaps 1.7%.
Oh, man. What an incredible number there. And shout out to Cooper for finding that. But yeah, according to PFF, he was ranked as the eighth most valuable tackle in all of college football.
The entire country.
Yeah. And when I see 1.7, it's like, man, okay, so you allowed a pressure. But you had to play so many snaps where, like, that number's so low. And he played 1,000 snaps for Western Kentucky last year. And so, you know, he was able to kind of be able to have that that percentage. I mean, incredible. Absolutely incredible. And look, I think Gunnar Britton is going to be the guy that helps you take that next step as an offense, along with some of the skill guys I think are going to take a step forward. Robbie Ashford, Jarquez Hunter, some of the receivers potentially, hopefully, we'll have to see. But an elite left tackle allows all of those guys to succeed and allows a Dylan Wade to succeed and allows, you know, all these other potential starters on the offensive front to succeed. Getting that left tackle, that's why they make so much money in the NFL. If you can get one, you don't let them leave. You just keep paying them more money because of stuff like this. 1.7% of the pass blocking snaps in the 2022 season at Western Kentucky, just allowing pressures on that. That's special, Lindsey.
Yeah, pass blocking grade was 83.9, made him a top 25 tackle in the country, not just like left tackle or not just right tackle, tackle in general. Wow. So you think about there's 100-something teams, each of them have two starting tackles. You're looking at 200-plus players, plus backups, injuries, all that kind of stuff. Sure. Number 24 in the country. So obviously he is a slam dunk, no doubt starter on this Auburn team. There's not even a conversation. He is your number one at left tackle. But when you look at some of the other guys that Auburn brought in, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but I'm going to position this question to you for comment.
Okay.
Auburn's 2023 offensive line, as currently constructed, will be the most talented offensive line that Auburn has had in more than 5 years.
That's interesting. Initially, I'm like, that seems a little premature, but Auburn's kind of feels like we've had the same offensive line for three of those 5 years, right? Yeah. So, I think there's a chance that it's going to take a step forward from that. I mean, they're bringing in more experience. I mean, with Gunnar Britton and Avery Jones, the center from East Carolina, that's going to help out a lot. We've seen Wade.
Jones was one of the best pass blocking centers in the country. So you have one of the best pass blocking tackles, one of the best pass blocking centers.
That's right. And then, you know, we saw the upside of what Jeremiah Wright could do at left guard last year. Dylan Wade, whether he's at right tackle or right guard, we'll have to see. But, you know, he's got a full season starting at Tulsa. You know, so, I mean, he's a known asset, which is great. And then Xavier Miller, I have as a projected starter right now. The number one JUCO, hasn't played at the SEC level, obviously. We'll see if that translates. So the bar is so low, Lindsey. I'm leaning towards true. I also think the scheme will help. I trust this coaching staff, and I trust Hugh Freeze's offensive mind and his play-calling ability to help the offensive line out. I say it all the time on Locked On Auburn. I'm sure I've already said it a few times here on the Auburn Daily Show. But good coaches put their players in situations to succeed. And I don't think we saw that for the last 2 years. And I don't think you really saw that over the last 2 or 3 years of the Gus Malzahn era. And so I think right now, with the assumption that from left to right, it's Gunnar Britton, Jeremiah Wright, Avery Jones, Xavier Miller, and Dylan Wade. If that is what we're just kind of all assuming here, I think so. And I think it'll be the best offensive line since 2017. This was the offensive line in 2017. And this is a team, right, that was in a situation that were a game away from going to the college football playoff, played for the SEC championship, lost to Georgia. At left tackle, they had Prince Tega Wanogho At left guard, they had Mike Horton and they had Markwell Harrell. At center, they had Austin Golson. At right guard, they had Braden Smith, who's one of the best offensive linemen in the last 10 years at Auburn. And at right tackle, they had Darius James. Lindsay, I think all five starters were picked up by an NFL team the following year. They weren't great as a group, but they had certain assets that that some people wanted. So I think that's kind of interesting. But yeah, I think this group is better than that one. I think this current group going into 2023 certainly has more upside than this 2017 group.
And something that you touched on that I kind of want to come back to real quick is you mentioned the coaching and how coaching can put guys in a position to be successful and things like that. Phillip Montgomery at Tulsa.
1-0.
Cannot stress enough how important it is that you do not spell Phillip with two L's.
No,
Phillip is 1 L. Zach has no H. Lindsay with an A.
That's right.
The Tulsa offensive line was not great. I want to say they were bottom 10 in sacks in the country, like sacks allowed in the season. And yet the running backs still performed. The quarterbacks still performed because he was able to scheme guys open. He was able to adjust the play calls to the personnel and the stuff that they had. And so I feel comfortable in saying, hey, if we get into a scenario where, let's say, Xavier Miller's adjustment to the SEC isn't as smooth as we would like.
Yeah.
I feel confident in the fact that, one, you have some returning talent who has some starting experience. Maybe Tate Johnson tries his hand at guard or something like that. But then also, you have a coach who has schemed around poor offensive line play in the past. And so I feel comfortable saying that any sort of moderate deficiencies in blocking or in your offensive line, Phillip Montgomery can take care of those while still giving you a chance to be successful on offense.
Yeah, and assuming Robbie Ashford's the quarterback going into next year, like, it helps have a mobile quarterback that can kind of help some of the offensive line out as well. Jarquez Hunter's got that speed and acceleration a little bit more so than we saw from Tank Bigsby a year ago, and so that probably certainly helps. Same with Brian Batiev, which, you know, you got to think that he's going to have a big role or he wouldn't have come here. You got to think they promised him something. So, yeah, I think just the personnel that's going to be playing close to the offensive line. I'm not talking about wide receivers. Are going to be a little bit farther down the line of scrimmage. I do think they'll help too, but yeah, I'm with you. I'm certainly with you on all of that, but we have seen Hugh Freeze offensive lines be very good, be very successful. And he did that with more talented guys. I mean, some guys that obviously went on to be first round draft picks and in interesting ways. But I think this is a good group. I think Gunnar Britton is an NFL lineman next year. I think Avery Jones will get a few looks just because he's played so stinking much. And I think Dylan Wade has a chance to be that at some point as well. So there's a lot of upside. This is the most upside on an offensive front in a long time. In a long time, Lindsey Crosby.
After having watched the Eagles over the weekend, and there's the conversation about Jalen Hurts and does Alabama or Oklahoma get to claim him, if Gunnar Britton gets drafted, does Auburn get to claim Gunnar Britton? Or is he a Western Kentucky product?
No. He went to Auburn to improve his draft stock. Yeah, there's no question. There's no question about it. Jalen Hurts didn't go to Oklahoma to improve his draft stock. He went to Oklahoma because he was a backup quarterback at Alabama. So
he got benched in the biggest game of his life and became a backup. So, okay, That's fair enough.
I think there's a difference there.
There is a difference. We get to claim Gunnar Britton. The thing that makes me feel good about this, just kind of wrap this whole thing up with a bow here, is I feel like your quarterback now, whoever it may be, if it's Robbie Ashford or somebody else, and there's plenty of time to worry about the portal after spring.
Sure.
They have to feel a little safer now, a little more secure being behind this much improved line and knowing that they are protected. And if you want to be protected, let me tell you, folks, this video is sponsored by NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty. You can be exploited by hackers. if somebody has access to your Wi-Fi connection and you are not connected via a VPN, they can intercept your web traffic and they can see the pictures you're sending to people or the password to your online banking. NordVPN is a private network connection between you and their secure servers so that you can be harder to track. You can change your IP address. Your traffic is encrypted and you are safe. NordVPN's giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a special deal. Check out the link in the episode description today to learn more. Talking about being safe, who I don't think is going to be safe next year.
Lindsay, real quick, I need to give a shout out to the FedEx guy that just dropped a package off at my door without ringing the doorbell.
I love when they don't ring the doorbell. Don't ring the doorbell.
Unbelievable. I mean, that's an afternoon changer with multiple dogs. Mm-hmm. Like that would have changed a lot of things. That would have changed a lot of things. So shout out to that guy. Sorry, Lindsay, yeah. Go ahead.
No, you are totally good. He's the dogs would keep your house safe. And the NordVPN keeps your internet connection safe.
That's right.
Talking about who's not going to be safe, though. Opposing quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Because Auburn has a lot of depth on the defensive line. And they're bringing in a five-star recruit in Keldrick Falk. The defensive line commit got his fifth star on Rivals. Huge. Just on Monday. And, you know, 6'5", 240, it's something where we were talking about who was going to be that third edge presence after you look at, obviously, you brought in Elijah McAllister from Vanderbilt.
Right.
You already have Dylan Brooks, and the conversation was who's going to be that third guy. I think Keldrick Falk can be that third guy. And what is great about this is a couple things. One, I feel a little better about having not brought in a second edge recruit.
Yeah.
But two, the last five-star signees that Auburn had was in 2019. You brought in quarterback Bo Nix and linebacker Owen Papo. And Hugh Freeze has been here for 2 months, and he has a five-star. I don't quite think he gets full credit for that. I don't think
The guy already liked Auburn. Yeah, and that quote where he's like, I always wanted to be at Auburn. It just didn't really make sense until now. And it's like, oh, wow, these guys really did hate the previous guy. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, getting that fifth star on Rivals, I think that's great. And I think it allows Auburn to kind of say, yes, like we had this big ascension. Oh, yeah, and also, you know, we were able to add a five-star during the early signing period. Like, I think that's huge. I think it's huge from – a marketing standpoint, a branding standpoint, and look, you know, this coaching staff is back out there. They've put this emphasis on recruiting again. You saw the graphics department make, you know, all these, you know, Carnell Williams on the road type things, you know, for all the assistant coaches that were going out and recruiting. And it's like, okay, it's been clear that they've made an emphasis on it again. How much does it matter if it was Hugh Freeze versus somebody else? I think Keldrick Falk wanted to come to Auburn. It certainly seems like his family did, specifically his mother, which is great. Shout out to her. We wanted him to come too. And so he's going to. And just now looking at what the potential rotation will look like, I don't think him just getting that fifth star really changes my opinion on this. Lindsay, I think he's going to be a factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the way Elijah McAllister plays, it allows him to be a strong side defensive end as well if Keldrick Falk or Dylan Brooks really come on in the spring and say, like, no, you can rush the passer in the SEC as a freshman. Like, you absolutely can. And I think he'll be able to. I expect to see a lot of him. In fact, if I'm Dylan Brooks, I'm a little concerned about Keldrick Falk. Just being real, that's just kind of where I'm at on him. I've admittedly probably been too low on Dylan Brooks. We'll see what happens with him. But, yeah, I mean, Keldrick Falk, as a true freshman, five-star according to Rivals, I think both he, Elijah McAllister, and Dylan Brooks are all going to see a ton of snaps. And, hey, some schools, and this is just looking at his Rivals page, some schools were recruiting him as a strong side defensive end. Can he do that as a year one player? Sure. He's got the frame for it, so I don't see why not. Get him on the field however you can and just kind of let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah. In a three-down lineman front, I think you're looking at he's obviously a better fit at edge. I do think something you kind of glossed over in that, but is really big, is he is on campus for the spring.
Right.
And so, you know, 6'5", 240, he has good size, but he's going to have a spring semester plus a summer of being on that – like that college weight plan, that college, you know, the weightlifting, the nutrition, getting into SEC shape so that he can make an impact. And it's going to be really interesting to me to see how the snaps by the end of spring look for Brooks versus Falk. I expect as we go into, as we start spring practice, you're going to see McAllister as the one, you're going to see Brooks as the two, and Falk probably as the three.
Yeah.
Because a lot of coaches defer to the veterans when there's multiple guys.
Right.
But by the end of it, and by A Day, I'm curious to see what the rotation is. And
I don't think even think it'll be then. I think it'll be in the fall, Lindsay. I think they're going to probably go chalk in the spring game. That's just my guess.
Yeah. And then over summer workouts, and then in the fall, kind of seeing how it shakes out.
And I think with the portal era, you have to do that because you don't want Dylan Brooks to transfer.
That's a good point. You have to try to keep everybody happy. You have to make sure Dylan Brooks is plenty involved. Is there a scenario where at the end of the 2023 season, when Elijah McAllister has used his 37 years of eligibility and is gone, where Kedrick Falk is the number one and Dylan Brooks is the number two? I think it's possible based on film that we've seen. Obviously, that's a long ways away.
Yeah.
But you have to feel like you have two options that you're comfortable with after Elijah McAllister is gone. You still have a significant need to recruit the room, recruit the position going forward. But you feel okay about the depth in 23, knowing that Falk is as talented as he is.
Yeah, I bet they don't feel confident about the depth at the edge position for 2023. I think they're going to get more guys in that second window, that May 1st through May 15th window. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, that's just my hunch. It's just my guess. I mean, you need more than three edge guys in today's SEC, today's era of college football, when, you know, I don't think we fully know what they're going to do, you know, offensively at Mississippi State, but Will Rogers is still going to be there, so they're going to throw it a ton. But like with him, with what they do in Ole Miss, with what they're doing in Alabama, I mean, they're even spreading it out at LSU. Like, you need to have two guys on the field that can rush the passer consistently. And mm-hmm. Auburn has three total. And so, like, yeah. You need two every play or most plays and passing downs. So, I don't see how they go into 2023 with the edge room looking like it currently does. I think you've got to add more. Obviously, it's too late to do that heading into spring. But I think after spring – and the first half of May, I bet they had one or two more guys.
Yeah, and my thought process is you probably see somebody from linebacker who might be a good pass rusher. I don't know if it's going to be Cam Riley, a Wes Steiner, or somebody else. My guess is you'll see one of those guys spend a little more time in the edge room. But like you said, probably bringing somebody else in would be smart.
Well, the issue with the linebacker thing is, like, that's a thin room too. And I don't, other than Cam Riley, who is Auburn's returning starter at linebacker, you know, I don't know if you really can, if you have the bodies to do that right now. You may see some of it in spring to see what they've got. And I guess the other option is, can you scoot somebody else out that's already in the defensive line room? And I don't know if you can. Like, I don't know if there's an obvious answer to that one. So I don't know really what you do. And right now in spring, you just focus on getting better as a team. But yeah, they've got to have more guys, I think.
Yeah, definitely have to do some sort of work. And it's tough. When you look at the linebacker room, there's 10 guys on paper, mm-hmm. very top heavy, but you brought in two transfers. The assumption is, I feel pretty confident in saying you're going to lose someone out of that room to the portal after spring. When you have, you have five seniors in that room and you brought in two transfers as well, there's going to be one or two guys in that group of seniors who feel like they need more snaps than they got in spring. So it is kind of tough to say, I'm going to pull from that. You don't necessarily have an undersized or incredibly fast defensive lineman who you can kick out. So I'm starting to rethink my stance of edge is a little better than I thought it was. And now I'm just as nervous as I was when we went into this.
Yeah. Which is sorry about that.
No, you educated me. And that is why I read auburndaily.com.
Educated. We educate you.
You educated me. I didn't even intend to do that pun. I didn't even mean the pun.
So bad.
Zach Blackerby, where can folks find you, love you, support you, all that good stuff?
Yeah, auburndaily.com is where we check out, we put out all of our written content. And obviously, that's the name of the show. And hopefully, you are supporting all of the content. We got a great staff over there. Lindsay, Lance, Harrison, bunch of guys. So yeah, we're having a lot of fun at auburndaily.com.
Yep. I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. Zach's on Twitter at ZBlackerby. We both have shows outside of Auburn Daily. Locked on MB Prospects for me, Locked on Auburn for Zach. Available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Until tomorrow, this has been the Auburn Daily Show, y'all.